At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at bragworthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Nobody in Kansas City has sports like 96.5 The Fan.
Right side throw, touchdown! Kansas City, a 3-yard touchdown pass in overtime. Kansas City wins the game.
Welcome into The Drive with Carrington Harrison.
Back-to-back best sports talk host as voted on in the Pitch magazine.
Live from the Fan Studios, here's CDOT.
Let's do this. Another day, another dollar, another edition of The Drive. You are listening to The Drive on 96.5 The Fan, 96.5thefan.com, and also the Odyssey app. My name is Carrington Harrison. Excited to be here with you guys on this wonderful, wonderful Friday. Hopefully you guys have a lot of fun playing this weekend. I know that it's graduation season around the metro area, so congratulations to you and yours if you are celebrating someone graduating this weekend. We got a lot to get into in today's show. Coming up in about 15 minutes, we'll be joined by Brandon Kiley, who does middays in St. Louis. We're going to talk a little bit more about the Cardinals. As the Cardinals are coming to town, we're also going to be joined by Josh Fernier. We'll get his thoughts as we are heading into a very important weekend series for the Kansas City Royals. We'll talk some football. We'll talk some baseball. We got a Game 7 coming up in the NBA playoffs this weekend. This is a really exciting time in the sports calendar. Before we do any of that, let me remind you guys to be sure to be listening to the show each day at 2 o'clock right here on 96.5 The Fan. And also, if you can tell one person to check out the show, you know what? I would greatly appreciate it. You don't got to tell two people. Just tell one friend to check out the show. And you know what? I would appreciate that a lot. So we have a lot of Royals planned in today's show with the Cardinals being in town. And the Royals are celebrating not only the 1985 championship team, they're also celebrating the 2015 championship as well.
Davis comes to the plate. Strike three called. It's over. They've done it. The Royals are World Series champions. The world champion Kansas City Royals.
I was thinking about this as we were getting ready for the weekend, and I plan on going out there for tomorrow's championship celebration and also going out there on Sunday, that if you have lived in this city for a long time and you're around my age, you remember how big and important the 1985 Kansas City Royals were. And a lot of it felt like ancient history, that when you would see the excitement, the enthusiasm, when you would see everything surrounding those Royals teams, and when you had your uncles or fathers or whomever got you into baseball tell you how much of a baseball town Kansas City was and how energized the city was by the Kansas City Royals, it sounded like a fairy tale. It sounded like a myth, something that was so far removed from your own reality. That's not how we felt about the Royals growing up. And then to be able to experience it for yourself in order to be able to see it, it was really cool. I think what is great about the Royals organization is that bridge that connects those two organizations. George Brett is still around. Willie Wilson is still around. A lot of those greats from 1985 were there to help you celebrate all of the accomplishments of what happened in 2015. And we got a chance to create our own legends, our own stars, our own heroes. You didn't just have to look at Frank White or George Brett or some of those great Royals in 1985. You have your own heroes, your own stories to tell about this team. I was also thinking about this and what I think this weekend means for so many of us. It is a celebration of the Royals' past. It is a celebration of the Royals' present, that the Royals are a very good team. I'm expecting great crowds to be out there this weekend. I'm working on getting a closer estimate to what the Royals are expecting this weekend. But the Royals just had the Red Sox in town. Great weather. They have the Cardinals coming into town for a weekend series. Their next weekend series is against the Detroit Tigers, the team that leads their divisions. They're going to have some great weekends out at Kauffman Stadium. I was thinking this, though. Every Royals great has eventually had their moment in the sun. You think of the George Brett, the Frank Whites. They had a couple of those moments. They had one in 1980 going to the World Series against the Phillies. They also had one in 1985 winning the championship against the St. Louis Cardinals. Salvador Perez, Eric Hosmer, Alex Gordon. They had their run with the 2015 team. I do think at some point we will be having a conversation about Bobby Witt Jr. And eventually he gets his opportunity in the postseason. He got his first taste last year. But with the consistency that this organization has shown, with the front office and their ability to build a pitching staff, you would assume at some point Bobby Witt Jr. is going to have his opportunities to create those memories as well. Bobby might be the second best player they've had in their organization over its totality of it. Everybody that has come before him eventually got a chance to walk through that door. I believe he's going to have that opportunity as well. So this weekend is not just to me about celebrating 1985 or 2015, and we should certainly celebrate both of those teams, and it's going to be special for everybody that gets the opportunity to go out. But I don't think that all of those things or all the success have to be distant memories. I think that this Royals organization is forging their own path, and I think we'll get an opportunity to see Vinny continue to play in some very important games, Bobby Witt Jr. play in some very important games, Mikel Garcia, this new foundation that is ultimately going to push baseball forward. Your 12-year-old son doesn't fully understand what the Royals meant in 2015, but my hope is when he gets to be 14, 15, 16, you get to share those memories with him as the Royals are once again back in the postseason and hopefully once again contending for an opportunity to win the World Series. Coming up in just a little bit, we're going to be joined by Brandon Kiley, who covers the Cardinals in St. Louis. But before we do any of that, you know what? Let's continue this nostalgic journey. And why don't we take a look back to the first National League, American League, Interleague game between the Royals and the Cardinals. Rob, hit me.
We're where you want to be. Baseball with the Royals.
Captain, Interleague play returned, I guess showed up for Major League Baseball in the summer of 1997. That summer, the Royals took on the Cardinals in August at the K in front of 36,000. Here is Royals lineup from that night.
Before we get to this, you know how crazy it was that in 2005, we were still letting the pitcher go up to hit? I understand why we were doing this in 1971. But we got more and more information, and during one of the most exciting offensive periods in the history of baseball, we were still letting Bartolo Colon go up to the plate. What a terrible idea. I know you guys love your traditional values and hate whenever baseball changes. All they've done is improve. We got the DH in both leagues. We got a pitch clock. We got ghost runners in the extra innings. Oh my goodness, baseball is such a better product than it was in 2005.
Here's your lineup from that day in 1997. Leading off in center field, Johnny Damon. Batting second and at second base, Jed Hansen.
I've never heard of that man a day in my life.
Batting
I heard of the first guy. I never heard of that second guy.
Batting third, the shortstop, Jay Bell.
Okay, I remember him.
Batting fourth, the designated hitter, Chili Davis.
Royals legend. Is he going to be in town this weekend?
I don't think he was on any of those teams, so I doubt it.
I mean, he can be working. Let's get Chili Davis a job in the front office somewhere. Can he be a scout for you guys?
I think he was a hitting coach somewhere in baseball last time I checked in on Chili.
Can he come be the hitting coach for the Kansas City Royals? They need one, don't they?
They don't not need one.
He could be a hitting consultant.
There you go. Batting fifth, the third baseman, Dean Palmer.
Hey, Dean Palmer. I would wear a Dean Palmer throwback jersey right now.
Batting sixth at first base, Jeff King.
Jeff King.
Batting seventh in right field, Jermaine Dye.
Here's where we get to my Royals right now, Jermaine Dye.
Batting eighth, the left fielder, Yamil Benitez.
I never heard of that man before. I don't know who he is. Who's Yamil? What's his last name again?
Benitez.
Yamil Benitez. I'm not familiar with his game.
And batting ninth, behind the plate, Mike Sweeney.
Oh my goodness. This is a real random lineup here. No chance the Royals won this game.
They lost 9-7 this date. They used 6 pitchers as Jay Pitsley couldn't hold the Cardinals down. And then a cavalcade of people you've never heard of. Ricky Bones, Matt Wisnett, Hector Carrasco, Greg Olson, and Jamie Walker couldn't hold down the Cardinals as they beat the Royals on this date. As the first interleague matchup for the Royals in August of 1997.
Well, they did have Greg Olson out there, so I mean, you know, maybe the Royals have the ability to see the future.
McGuire, by the way, for the Cardinals, homered this day, 97, his 43rd.
Well, of course he did. I'm sure you hit that thing a mile long.
It was a nice, clean, no-cheating homer.
He probably hit the FCA building across the street. How far he hit that thing. Goodness gracious. I would have loved to have seen Mark McGuire take batting practice at Kauffman Stadium back in 1997. That's probably better than going to the game. How many people did they get for that one? They had 48,000 people probably.
36,000, a near sellout of the K. It was a Friday night against the Cardinals.
Yeah, you know, I'm saying they probably packed them people in. That's standard room only. They weren't playing. And it actually might have been a sellout. You got to remember, this was pre-renovations too. So it actually might have been a sellout for the Royals back in 1997. Coming up on the other side, we'll head to St. Louis and be joined by Brandon Kiley, who covers the St. Louis Cardinals. We'll learn more about the Redbirds next. Keep it right here. So drive.
Hey, it's Cole Reagans from the Kansas City Royals. You're listening to The Drive with CDOT on 96.5 The Fan.
Brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got the...
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Optimize your nutrition this year with Factor, America's number one ready-to-eat meal service. Factor's fresh, never-frozen meals are dietitian-approved, ready to eat in just 2 minutes. Choose from 40 weekly options across 8 dietary preferences like Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, and Keto. Eat smarter at factormeals.com/listen50 and use code LISTEN50 for 50% off plus free shipping on your first box. Factormeals.com/listen50, code LISTEN50.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
this.
Let's head to the phone lines right now to be joined by Brandon Kiley with ESPN 101 in St. Louis. Happy to talk a little Chiefs, a little Cardinals, a little fun. BK, how you doing, my man?
I'm doing great. We got some severe weather out here in St. Louis right now. So if you hear the rain in the background, I apologize. I'm on my way home from my show. But doing well otherwise, C-Dot. How you doing, man?
I'm doing fantastic, man. Happy to have you on the show today. Let's get some important questions out of the way. Where are you at with Dippin' Dots? Are you for or against Dippin' Dots?
I haven't had Dippin' Dots in a long time. I'm for it for my kid now. I'm against it for me. Just not my thing.
What do you put on your hot dog?
I go relish and mustard typically for my hot dog.
Right now we're talking to BK. BK, how do you get your steak cooked?
Medium or medium rare, depending on where I'm at. If I'm at a fancy place, I'll go medium rare.
You know what? You answered all these questions correctly. I'm proud of you. You're really starting to grow up.
I didn't know if you were like baffled by the relish and mustard or if that was the exact correct answer. That could have gone either way.
No, you know, it threw me for a little bit, but you know what? I'm going to let you be you, man. I'm going to let you be you. So let's start with this. I have sensed, and you can tell me if I'm wrong, I have sensed there's a little frustration with the Cardinals right now. You guys aren't drawing the same crowds that you guys are used to. What's going on in St. Louis?
Okay, so it's kind of twofold here. One, yes, coming into the season, there was a lot of fan frustration. The direction was unclear. They decided they're going with this youth movement. I mean, we've been told this 100 times in Kansas City, right? Youth movement time for Major League Baseball. Let's go, boys. And then suddenly they like decided not to sell Ryan Helsley during the offseason, who's one of the premier closers in the game. He has 1 year left on his contract, and I would be very surprised if the Cardinals extend him. So the natural decision there is like, okay, yeah, of course, you trade that guy. They decided not to. They have a starter in Eric Fetty, who's like pretty mediocre, but he's solid. You saw him probably plenty when he was with the White Sox last year. He has 1 year left on his deal, so yeah, trade him, right? Nope, they decided not to do that either. So the direction was unclear going into the season. And then they started out, and they struggled early on, and the fans were frustrated, and they made that clear based on the attendance as well. And then, see, they've been playing great baseball ever since. So they have not been home in about a week and a half now. They've had a really great road trip, just took 2 out of 3 on the road at Philly, playing against a very good Phillies team. I am very curious to see what it looks like next week when the Tigers come to town, and if the ballpark is something closer to full. But yeah, it's almost kind of a two-pronged approach right now. Fans, yes, very frustrated with the direction, but I think mostly pleased with the style of play that they've seen over the last month or so.
I mean, I'm looking at the attendance. I mean, in 2023, the Cardinals were fourth in attendance, averaging over 40,000 people. If you now fast forward to 2025, they're 13th in attendance. Do you think that there is a chance that Cardinals fans are just simply spoiled? Because I'm looking at their team right now. I mean, they're a game back in the division. They're one of the teams that are in the mix in the National League. This doesn't seem like a city that should be, I don't want to say turning their back on the Cardinals, but appear to be very lukewarm on the Cardinals.
I'm going to compare it to the Chiefs, C-Dot, because, like, once you have that special all-time great player, it's really hard to go back to being just something resembling a contender. Like, the getting to the playoffs is seen as a success this year probably for the Cardinals, right? So, post-Patrick Mahomes, whenever that happens, hopefully that's 15 years down the road, if the Chiefs get back to what they were with Alex Smith, I don't know how that's going to play in Kansas City. That's a like really solid outcome. That was some of the best years that we've seen as Chiefs fans in the last 20. But after Patrick Mahomes, that will feel like a failure. And that's what it feels like for Cardinals fans right now, coming off of what was really the best 15-year stretch maybe in franchise history, at least the modern era of Cardinals history, when they had Albert Pujols in his prime, Matt Holliday, some of the best players in the league. So going from that to, hey, they might be able to win 90 games this year, and that would be considered a huge success coming off of two really disappointing seasons for them. It's hard to know exactly how you should judge that. And I think for a lot of fans, they've made their decisions of, this is not the team that I grew up rooting for, and I'm super disappointed by it. So yeah, if you want to call that spoiled, I think yes, they have been. But it's similar to what's happening in Kansas City right now with the Chiefs.
BK, I'm curious, if the Cardinals were in the American League, do you think the vibe around them would be very different? The National League is just much more competitive. It's a lot deeper than the American League. That if the Cardinals were in the American League, they'd be considered one of the favorites to actually go to the World Series.
maybe. I mean, you've still got the Yankees and the AL, and the AL West is relatively competitive. It would be different for sure, because in the National League, I think you have four teams that are just so clearly above everybody else. Like, you look out at the NL East, and you've got the Mets and the Phillies that are really good. You look in the West, and you've got the Dodgers and the Padres that are genuinely excellent, like World Series contenders. So it's hard to crack into that top four or so. In the American League, it's a little more shallow at the top, but there's still a lot of really good teams. I think the problem for Cardinals fans is it's similar to the AL Central, where every team in the Central Division in the National League is just trying to be the best team in the division, and that only requires you to be so good. AL Central is similar, where it's just, it's not the same bar to clear, so why, if you're an owner, are you going to strive for something more, right? We could get into the playoffs and anything can happen, as we've seen.
Right now, we're talking to BK here, learning a little bit more about the St. Louis Cardinals. The Cardinals have been hot of late. They have been one of the hottest teams in baseball. I would assume, based on that, you consider them the favorite going into this series against the Royals, who have been hot in their own right over the last 3 weeks or so.
It's interesting. The Cardinals are going to throw two of their worst pitchers this weekend, and the Royals are, I think, actually a relatively bad matchup for each of them. Andre Pallante and Miles Michaelis are true pitch-to-contact guys. They do not strike anybody out. Michaelis was really bad last year. He's been better lately, had one terrible start, but otherwise it's been mostly okay. You will not see him get a third time through the order, but the first two times, I'm curious to see how he matches up against this Royals lineup. And then Pallante is a young starter that they converted from a reliever. He's solid, but he has had some kind of blow-up outings lately. So those two games, I think there's a severe pitching advantage in favor of the Royals. This series, to me, is going to be about the Cardinals' offense. Going up against Seth Lugo, Michael Walker, and Cole Reagans. Like, the Cardinals' offense has been great lately. They've got a young hitter that'll play a little bit of catcher this weekend, and Yvonne Herrera, who's one of the hottest hitters in baseball. That's really where this series will be won or lost. If the Royals are able to keep them off the board, they keep them to three runs or less, I think the Royals probably win two out of three. If the Cardinals' offense gets going, though, I don't know if the Royals will be able to keep up.
BK, in St. Louis, does this series even register? Is this something that people are looking forward to? Is this a series that Cardinals fans have circled? Or is this just like playing anybody else?
The latter. I don't think it really registers here hardly at all. It's certainly like Major League Baseball is labeling this weekend rivalry weekend. It certainly isn't that. I mean, the Cardinals fans view the Cubs as their one true rival. Everybody else is secondary after that. And I don't think that it's a rivalry at all with Kansas City. I think the only thing that it really becomes is, like, a lot of people will take the road trip over to KC, make a weekend out of it because it's a fun town to visit for a weekend. You could go watch the game in a cool ballpark. But other than that, yeah, no, it's just any other series. It's a nice measuring stick because people here, I think, view the Royals as a legit playoff team. But there's nothing really deeper than that.
I'm curious how St. Louis has adopted American League Baseball, essentially. Like, these two cities, part of what is different is the Royals were in the American League and the Cardinals were in the National League. And people in the National League kind of held to, this is real baseball. And they kind of look down on American League Baseball. Now, everybody plays the same brand. How do you like, I guess, having American League Baseball in St. Louis?
I love it because it's what I grew up with, right? But for a lot of people here, especially the older crowd that grew up with Whitey Ball in the 80s, and you had all of the managerial decisions that go along with that, there was some real hesitance to accept it. And I think it took maybe like 3 years to get there. And then the Cardinals brought back Albert Pujols. He was primarily a DH for them. He had a crazy run in the second half where he became one of the best hitters in baseball once again. Right before retiring, he hit his 700th career home run while he was here back as a Cardinal. I think that was the year that people officially adopted, like, okay, this is a good thing for the game long term. And now the Cardinals, I mentioned him earlier, they've got a young hitter by the name of Yvonne Herrera who is really bad defensively behind the plate, like might be on the MJ Melendez career trajectory where it's like, okay, it's probably not going to work for you as a catcher. He is probably a long-term DH/first base option. And that's the case as well for their former catcher at Wilson Contreras. So even just from a roster management standpoint, it really helps for them to have that extra spot available in the lineup. I think fans have really started to understand that and appreciate it. So for most fans, I won't say all, because there's certainly a segment out there that still is hesitant to accept it. Most fans, I think, appreciate it now.
Right now, we're talking to BK here. He does radio in St. Louis, talking a little Cardinals, talking a little Royals. I want to get his thoughts on the Chiefs, too, before we get him out of here. What's your big takeaway from the Chiefs offseason?
I would say, like, you probably couldn't have asked for anything better when it comes to the left tackle position, right? I didn't know what they were going to do with the first round other than, like, if Josh Simmons is there, that's so obviously the pick. It felt strange at the time to pay a left tackle, relatively speaking, starter money, and then to draft a first-round pick above him. But really what they did is, we're not going to get into the same situation as we were in a year ago, where it was Kingsley or bust, and it busted, and they really didn't have an alternative. So at least now, you've got a guy at left tackle that you can trust. You have a future potential Pro Bowl type of player in Josh Simmons, and you just kind of build it that way, right? You give yourself multiple outs. I like that, and that's the most important thing that we all have said coming into the offseason. You can't have the same situation at left tackle as it was a year ago. Beyond that, though, man, I think you could have a really good defense. I like what they've done on that side of the ball. And offensively, like, it's just a bet on the receivers staying healthy and being what they thought they were going to be a year ago. So I think they had a pretty good offseason, all things considered. I don't know that it was, like, the sexiest offseason they've had in recent years, but I think it was productive. How did you feel about it?
Yeah, I agree with you. I think their biggest takeaway was very simple. Last year, we felt like we were going to have a top 10 offense, and injuries derailed us at every single turn. If we can get those guys back and keep them healthy, we think that we're going to have a very good offense. I'm curious to get your thoughts on this, and I'll let you get off here because it sounds like the hail is coming, so I want to make sure that you're safe. I was disappointed by the way that they handled running back this year. With this running back class, I thought they had a chance to swing a lot bigger. They didn't do a whole lot in free agency when it came to the position. And then in the draft, they used a seventh round pick to go get a running back. I wanted them to do more.
Yeah, I understand the perspective, C-Dot. I really do. Because I was somebody that I would have liked to have seen them make more of a splash at the running back position. But if it's just a team that outside of Clyde Edwards-Helaire has never done that. They just don't value the position that way. So I wasn't necessarily surprised by it. And honestly, like, if you think about it, if they get 2 years ago Isaiah Pacheco, aren't they fine? It's not super exciting, but I don't think people looked at it 2 years ago and were like, man, the Chiefs are in a bad way with Isaiah Pacheco as their starter. So I don't think it's the worst thing in the world. You've got Kareem Hunt back, who can be good on short yardage situations. They do have a guy now that can project to be a potential pass catcher for you out of the backfield as well with their seventh round pick. I think they'll be fine long term. It's really just a bet on Isaiah Pacheco and him coming back healthy.
All right, BK, man, be safe. Stay out of the rain. Take care of yourself, my man.
I appreciate you, brother. Take it easy, man.
Absolutely. That's Brandon Kiley joining us on the show today. You could hear it coming in the background, the hail. I want to make sure that he gets off the phone and gets to where he needs to be. Special thanks to Brandon Kiley with ESPN 101 in St. Louis popping up and joining us on the show today. Really happy to get his thoughts about the Cardinals. Also get a little bit of Chiefs. I am curious to hear you guys. 913-586-7965. Does this series still matter or mean anything to you? Because in some ways, I've always felt like the rivalry was something that people felt like we were supposed to have this rivalry with St. Louis. They played each other in the World Series in 1985, so we're supposed to hate them because they're on the other side of the state. And a lot of people had that energy, and I've just never felt that way towards St. Louis. Sure, there's always going to be a little playful rivalry and back and forth as trying to determine who are the two best cities and biggest cities in the state. But the Royals and the Cardinals have just never played a meaningful game in my life. Like, there has never been a time where they aren't in the same division. It's not like college football or college sports. They always play each other early in the summer. The Royals very rarely have been good while the Cardinals have been good. It's not like we've seen a series where the Royals were the best team, the Cardinals were the best team, and they were fighting for something. That's just not really the dynamic between those two teams. I would say that the Twins have been much more of a rivalry for the Royals in my lifetime. The Guardians have certainly been. The Tigers were that at a time, and it makes sense. Those are the teams that are in your division. I've just never felt a rivalry against St. Louis. I am kind of wondering what the crowd is going to be like from the St. Louis perspective. We certainly have seen some series where St. Louis fans come in and take over the stadium, and it feels like you are at a Royals road game, even though it's at Kauffman Stadium. I mean, they aren't going to their own park this year. So I don't know if they're now coming over to take over your stadium and take over your park. And with the celebration that the Royals have planned this weekend with 85 in 2015, I expect a lot of Royals fans to want to go out there this weekend. I am curious, Rob, where do you think we sit right now with this rivalry between the Royals and the Cardinals?
Well, me and you see it the same. I've never seen it as a rivalry. Now, I had some college friends who were from St. Louis, so like it was among my little friend group in college, like a little fun thing. Hey, they're here this weekend. Oh, you come to my park, come to my town. You want to beat my team. And then, you know, I'd drive across the state line, do the same thing. Oh, man, I want to beat your team in your park. But it was mostly just very casual. It was never a real rivalry. And it feels like it was always just an extension of the nostalgia the Royals were selling us our entire childhood. They never gave us an on-field product that you felt positive about. So when they played the Cardinals, it gave them a chance to play a highlight package of, you know, no outs to go. The Royals are World Series champions. It gave them a chance to have the safe call at first base all over the Jumbotron. It was basically a chance to take a victory lap about St. Louis. But if you were born post-1985, those moments didn't matter to you. When me and you went to the K for the Cardinals and Royals games, we saw those moments, and our parents told us about that series, and you probably saw clips, and you heard George Brett on radio stations talk about it, but you never felt the connectivity to it. So I've never felt this is a rivalry, and as time has gone on, I feel less and less like it's a rivalry because, and I will credit you for this, you talk about with the Chiefs how the Bengals are a bigger rival in the eyes of fans than the Bills are because they've taken something from the Chiefs. For people you and my age, or anyone born 1986 to on, have the Royals and or Cardinals ever taken anything from the other team? It's been polite August, June, July, three-game series, and then they go about their business. The Cardinals never failed to make the World Series of the playoffs because of a tough series against the Royals. The Royals never came up just short because the Cardinals came in town and ruined their party. You never felt that moment where they steal something. That's what makes a rivalry in pro sports, and just because of proximity does not mean you feel that with this rivalry.
Text line 913-586-7965. CDOT, you must not know a whole lot of Cardinals fans because their fans are the worst. I went to college in Joplin, Missouri. Basically, everybody other than me was a Cardinals fan. Some of you know this. Some of you don't know this. Basically, the only part of Missouri that cheers for the Royals is Kansas City. Every other part of Missouri cheers for the Cardinals. In Joplin, they cheer for the Cardinals. In Springfield, they cheer for the Cardinals. In Columbia, a majority of them cheer for the Cardinals. Every portion of Missouri outside of the KC Metro, they are all Cardinals fans. And it makes sense. The Cardinals have been good for basically our entire life, and the Royals have not been that way. I just have never felt that kind of sports rivalry. And someone on the text line makes a really good point. It is much more of a city and cultural rivalry than it is a sports rivalry. I just can't think of any big or important game between the Royals or the Cardinals. So the rivalry that I think they tried to create between these two, it just never really added up and has never really made a whole lot of sense to me. I would also make this point. Some of you might hate this. Some of you are Cardinals fans. You cheer for KU. You're a Cardinals fan. It's different. It's a different sport. Whatever you dislike about Cardinals fans, I'm telling you, KU fans are the exact same. Have you ever tried to have a conversation with a KU fan and it turns into a history lesson? Like, bro, we can't talk about the 2025 team. You got to tell me about Jock Vaughn and Paul Pierce and the rules of basketball. Why can't we talk about what's happening right now? You know that like arrogant, smug attitude that they walk around like they actually invented the game of basketball? Some of you don't like Cardinals fans because you are a Cardinals fan. You just cheer for a different version of the St. Louis Cardinals.
I mean, if we're going to say unpopular things,
Here you go. Starting to hate. I know what you're going to say. I'm around you enough to know exactly what you're about to say. And the answer is yes. Go ahead and say it.
I'm going to say, isn't the current iteration of Chiefs fans just Cardinal fans?
Oh, no, I wasn't going to say that. Hold on.
100%.
Let me go back. I thought you were going to say that Mizzou is the Royals in this analogy.
100%.
That's what I thought you were going to say. I thought you was about to say that, so my bad. Yeah. No. I want to go back and say I did not compare Cardinals fans and Chiefs fans. You did that. I didn't say that.
You're telling me Chiefs Twitter and Cardinals Twitter are polar opposites? There's a little bit of Spider-Man meme there. I imagine if a rogue Bills fan says something benign on Twitter, Chiefs fans are the first person to jump in their mentions and point out Josh Allen's never beat Mahomes in a big game. I think Cardinals, Chiefs, and KU fans are all eerily similar. Now, that comes with winning. That arrogance, that smugness that all three carry comes with the fact that trophies are in their trophy case. But I don't think Chiefs fans and Cardinals fans are all that dissimilar nowadays ever since the Mahomes era has shown up. Now, if you're a Chiefs fan of the Marty era, you're not a Cardinals fan. But if you started being a Chiefs fan in 2019, you got Cardinal fan energy.
Yeah, I just wanted to be sure. I wanted to remove myself and distance myself from anything that you had to say there because I didn't have no part of that. I would like to point out to you guys that last year the Cardinals did not get 3 million fans. The last time they did that was 2021, but that was a weird time. It was coming off of COVID. They couldn't have full seats. I don't think you're really counting that against the Cardinals. The last time before that was 2003. They got 2.9 million fans. Like, this is a fan base that they go out to games. So the fact that right now their fans are they're 12th in attendance right now. This is a fan base that goes out there, rain or shine. I mean, they get 40,000 fans on average to go out there, and right now they're getting less than 30,000 fans to go out there. So in some ways, the fans have soured on the product a little bit and are telling you, hey, whatever you guys are selling us is not nearly good enough. I am going to be really curious to see what the breakup is. I mean, those of you that have been going to these Royals and Cardinals games for quite some time, you know it. It used to be a 50-50 split, or a lot of times it felt like the Cardinals came in and they were the home team. I don't think that's going to be the case this weekend out at Kauffman Stadium. I do think we'll have really good crowds. I think there's a chance they sell out today. You got Cole Reagans, Cardinals in town. It's a beautiful Friday. The weather is fantastic. I think there's a chance they get 35,000, maybe a little bit more. Tomorrow is the 2015 celebration for the Royals. I think they'll have another game in which a lot of people go out there. This is a really, really big weekend out at Kauffman Stadium. Coming up on the other side, we'll talk about the 2015 Royals as they are celebrating their World Series this weekend here in Kansas City. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison on your new home for Chiefs football. 96.5, The Fan, brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, DSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Optimize your nutrition this year with Factor, America's number one ready-to-eat meal service. Factor's fresh, never-frozen meals are dietitian-approved, ready to eat in just 2 minutes. Choose from 40 weekly options across 8 dietary preferences like Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, and Keto. Eat smarter at factormeals.com/listen50 and use code LISTEN50 for 50% off plus free shipping on your first box. Factormeals.com/listen50. Code LISTEN50.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
we've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available if at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
I'm really excited to go out to Kauffman Stadium this weekend. The Royals are having a two-day World Series celebration. Tonight, they are celebrating the 1985 World Series. Certainly fitting. They are playing the St. Louis Cardinals. Tomorrow, they are celebrating the 2015 team. A lot of the former players are going to be there. They're asking you to get to the stadium an hour early so they can celebrate the 2015 Kansas City Royals. So it's certainly going to be a great day to go out to the park. We had Eric Hosmer on the show earlier this week. Here's what he said is his favorite memory from the 2015 World Series.
But one that comes to mind, I mean, I'm out here up in the Northeast right now, and I drive by Citi Field quite often, and I'm sure you guys see on social media, I like to mess with these people out here in the Northeast, saying the stadium still smells like champagne. And, you know, I will never forget the moment where Kane hit the bases-clearing double against Bartolo Colon, and everybody in New York just kind of cleared out. And there was the family section and then another section of Royals fans in the very top left corner. And it just seemed like we had taken over the baseball world, so to speak. And that just jumps to mind when I think of 2015. I'm getting goosebumps just talking about it.
That was Eric Hosmer. If you want to check out the full interview, I would encourage you to check it out on the podcast page, 610sports.com, 96fan, the five, not, well, goodness gracious, 96.5thefan.com. I got to put a dollar into the tip jar. That's my fault there. I slipped up a little bit. So let me play one memory for you guys from the 2015 season. Carlos Correa. Oof.
And now sip to the belt, end of the plate. Breaking ball, ground ball up the middle. Correa, he misplayed it. The ball goes into center field. Two runs score, and this game is tied.
It is always funny to me how razor thin the margins are in sports. The Royals, I think, were pretty clearly the best team in baseball in 2015. I remember we were having conversations in September about their focus heading into the postseason. I thought for the most part, the Royals were just kind of bored. The Royals just didn't really have a sense of urgency in the final month of the season. They had everything wrapped up. We're going to win our division. We have been going full throttle for the last 4 or 5 months of baseball. It felt to me that the Royals were coasting in the final month of the season, and they weren't nearly as sharp. Fast forward. All right, we got to lock in now. It's the ALDS and the Houston Astros. I think we've now seen, as a decade later, a pretty formidable opponent. The Astros challenged the Royals as much as any team that wasn't the San Francisco Giants over that two-year stretch. That was a really, really good team. And then, in a flash, it all fell apart for the Astros, and that was the extra push, again, that the Royals needed in order to win the World Series that year. It is funny how a lot of times in sports, yes, it is about the journey, but sometimes it reaches a point where it is a very simple pass or fail. It's a very simple pass or fail. If Carlos Correa makes that one play and they convert that and turn that into an out, we are having a very different conversation about the 2015 Royals, and I think we all look at them as a failure. You guys went to the World Series the last year. You were the best team in 2015. You then lose in the first round of the playoffs in a 3-1 fashion. Yes, you choked. Yes, you failed. But the Royals get a hit. You can start to feel the momentum grow and grow and grow. And usually in a comeback, it takes a combination of two things. It takes your own skill. It also takes a little bit of luck. You need the other team to make a mistake. You need the other team to fall in some capacity to allow you to push yourself back up. And I have never seen a team, and maybe you could put the Chiefs in that category, and this is probably just a result of you being a very, very good team. What the Royals were really good at in 2015 and late in 2014 is if you made a mistake in any capacity, they were going to make you pay. If you messed up just a little bit, the Royals were going to strike. And with how dominant their bullpen was, you were never going to have the opportunity to make it up. If you make a mistake in the sixth inning and now it was a 1-1 game, now it's a 4-1 game, and now the Royals can 100% hand this thing off to their bullpen, you lost. You are not coming back in this game. That's what I remember most about the 2015 team. There's a lot of stories we can tell, and we'll obviously talk about some of them as the show continues, and Vern's coming up here at the top of the hour. We'll get his stories and his memory from 2015, but that's the characteristic that I will remember the most about the Royals in 2015. There has never been a team, certainly not a baseball team that we have seen, not here, that could make teams pay for their mistakes more than the Royals did in 2015. The Astros made a lot of mistakes in that inning. That was the difference in them not going to the World Series and the Royals winning the World Series.
I feel like it all has worked out. And, you know, it's one of those, you know, what ifs that people don't want to ponder. But a part of me always wonders the what if, because in 2015, social media was a thing. Twitter existed. Facebook existed. Maybe not to the prominence we have now, but these things existed. And I remember the Royals were down 2-1 in the series, and they were down, what, 6-2 heading into the eighth inning? It was as doom and gloom as I've seen social media daring the Royals run. Even when the Royals were getting beat by Madison Bumgarner, social media was generally, hey, this is still so fun. They're doing things we've never seen before. They'll be back. They're bringing everyone back. It was all positive. And then in a moment, it turned to doom and gloom. Oh, they're going to come up short all this year for nothing. It felt like disappointment was percolating and bubbling up. And then all of a sudden, just in very 2015, 2014 Royals energy, it was a single here, a single there. They just kept the line moving. And then that one mistake by Carlos Correa, suddenly the Royals win that game. And I felt like, social media felt like, I can't speak for you, Carrington, but I know the general sentiment was, oh, they ain't losing this series. They won that game. They now are coming back to Kauffman up with, and a series is 2-2. They're going to win this series, and they're about to be a rocket ship to the World Series. You felt like the Blue Jays were kind of an afterthought. They're going to run right through that team. It's funny how in sports, certain moments make you feel like, oh, here they come. If Carlos Correa catches that ball, I think it's, you know, DEFCON 1 in Kansas City with the Royals heading into 2016. But he didn't, and suddenly it was, oh, they feel unbeatable again.
Yeah, I also think a very important part of that series, because you're right, it's certainly game four. It's also about game five. I think for the most part, Johnny Cueto kind of had an up and down experience here in Kansas City. He certainly wasn't the overwhelming positive. Like, I don't think people have a lot of very positive Johnny Cueto memories. But it did feel like Johnny Cueto was kind of brought here for one game and one performance. It was game five against the Astros. The Royals were up against the ropes, and they dodged a bullet. Now they're coming back home for game five, and Johnny Cueto, who you were told was an ace, who you gave up all of these assets for, it's his responsibility now to ensure that you go to the next round of the postseason, and that is exactly what he did. He was great that day. And regardless of how you felt about Johnny Cueto, I felt like a lot of the things that happened before, you could forgive him and you could move on because of how he pitched that day. I mean, you can't really be much better than he was in a postseason game. I mean, he gave you 8 innings, 2 hits, 2 earned runs, 8 strikeouts, that didn't walk anybody. If you want to talk about in one moment, you can justify a trade and why the Royals or why a team went out and gave up what they gave to go acquire you, it's that game right there from Johnny Cueto. I mean, in game five, this was the formula. It was Johnny Cueto and then Wade Davis. The Astros were not winning that day. They were not winning that day, especially when you got a contribution from the offense the way that you did, and the Royals scored 7 runs that day, and that is how the Royals went to that next series. And you're right, I'm with you. Once they got themselves off the mat against the Astros, they won game four and they won game five. They were not losing that series to the Toronto Blue Jays, and they were going to advance to the World Series, and ultimately, they won the World Series. Coming up on the other side, we'll be joined by Josh Vernier, our Royals insider. We'll get his 2015 memories. Vern's not at three. Okay, I didn't know that. You just now told me that.
My apologies. Q had to change his dugout availability, so Vern will join at 3:30. That's my bad.
My apologies. I did not know that. All right, coming up on the other side, I don't know what we're going to talk about now that we don't have Vern on the show, but I'm sure I'll figure it out. Keep it right here, Sir Drive.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Nerds. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America.